Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people.
Thank you guys so much. I pray that you are available this morning for the Lord to work in and through your life. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 133 this morning. Psalm 133 in the precious Word of God. And as you're turning, I just want to make you aware of a couple of things. First of all, if you are going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning, gentlemen to my left, to your right, you just go right around this way and up. All things are made ready. And then ladies to my right, to your left, just beyond the piano, just go around and you can make your way up at the end of service when we begin the invitation. And looking forward to, I believe we have a few people that are going to be baptized today, so we're excited about that. And those who have been talking with us about joining and whatnot, you make your way forward, if you're able, we'll take care of those things and get you fill out those cards. Man, isn't it good to be in God's house? Man, what a wonderful day! I do want to ask you to be praying for one another, praying for our church. I specifically just want to mention, let's be praying for Miss Tracy as she'll be having surgery on the 4th of September, and we already believe the Lord's going to go ahead of her and take care of all those things. And as long as Chris will leave her alone during the rehab, I think we'll be all right. And then also, Miss Ann, I know her and Brother Gary are traveling today down Tennessee, is it? Down in Tennessee. And so let's pray for her. Surgery's coming up on the 27th. And then many of you know, we talked about it on Wednesday night, but Melissa Wimberly, you remember Terry and Melissa Wimberly, many of you who were here during that time. Brother Terry was on staff here. And she has had massive surgery there to remove an abscess in her brain and dealing with a number of the infection complications following that and some other things that are going on with her health. And so I know that they would definitely appreciate your prayers during this time, as many of us have already been praying for them. And then also, I'd ask you to be praying for the Blankenship and Dost family. Some of you may have heard that Miss Margie went home to be with the Lord the other day, and literally in between Sunday school and this hour, I was on the phone with the funeral home. We were waiting for some word from the cemetery, and so let me just say this on the offset. Next week is going to be a busy week, okay? Busy week in the life of our church, and looking forward to that opportunity that we have as a church family. With Pastor Travis preaching and then whatnot. But I want to ask you guys next Sunday, it looks like, and we'll confirm it and get the information to you, it looks like the services for Miss Margie are going to be on Sunday as well. So Sunday will be a packed day. That'll be at 1 o'clock as of right now. And like I said, I'll circle the wagons and make sure and we'll let you know. But it looks like services will be at 1 o'clock. Now on Sunday, they were trying to get it to take place on Saturday, but it looks like it'll be 1 o'clock on Sunday over in Manassas at Pierce Funeral Home, and then with the interment to follow. And so I ask you to keep the entire family in prayer. Amen? And certainly a wonderful opportunity we have to get into God's Word this morning. Look with me. I want to revisit a topic of extreme importance to us as a church family. I talked about this in the midst of COVID about 4 years ago, but I want to revisit this topic. And look with me in Psalm 133, and here's what the psalmist says. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen? Look at that verse again. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. It's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we are so grateful to be able to gather and to sing songs of adoration and songs of worship and songs of praise to your holy name. And certainly, Lord, we don't take for granted your love and your kindness and goodness to us. And so, Father, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would speak to hearts, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. And certainly, Lord, even in a unifying message like this, Lord, we pray that if there's somebody in this room, somebody watching that has never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they call out upon the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. God, we thank you for the ones who have given us their determination and desire to be baptized today, and I pray that you'll give them boldness and the wherewithal to come forward at the end of this message. And those who are desiring to join with us here at Battlefield, Lord, I pray that you'll give each and every one the ability to step out by faith and to trust you in this season of life. God, I pray that you be with Miss Margie's family, with Angie and Natalie and Nathan and the rest of the family, JB, and on the list goes. And Lord, that in this time of loss and sadness and grief, Lord, that you might remind them that you are the God of all comfort, that you might draw them close to you and close to one another. And God, I pray for these ones that we have specifically mentioned, and they'll be facing surgeries, and others who are going through surgeries and recoveries and rehabs. And think of Miss Patty and her rehab. God, I pray that you would just continue to strengthen her leg, and God, that she might be out and about doing what she desires for your honor and for your goodness and your glory as well. God, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, God, that I might speak your word with all boldness, that I might not shy away from difficult subjects and difficult topics, but Lord, that I might give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer, and so God, be with us now in these next few moments of time. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For it's in the precious and powerful name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. And for his sake, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, it's been said, and you guys may have heard this before, it's been said, united we stand, but divided. Hold on, let me try again. United we stand, but divided we. In reality, brothers and sisters in Christ, in reality, sometimes we don't always get along, do we? That's right. Linda, you didn't have to be so quick with that. We don't. In fact, I remember as a child with the lack of unity with my brothers and sisters in the home. Anybody have a brother or sister? You have siblings? Did y'all always get along? No. Josiah, I see you smiling, so I'm going to pick on you. Do you always get along with your brothers and sister? I know you always get along with your sister, but not your brothers. Is that right? No? Neither way. The reality is that I remember even as a child, the lack of unity, even in my own family, was usually the result, let's be honest, of selfishness. Whenever we have a problem with unity, it's usually a problem with selfishness or sinful choices. And the reality is the same is true in Scripture. When we think about it, you look all through Scripture, Cain killed his brother Abel. Jacob and Esau, they had issues, didn't they? They had issues coming out of the womb. I mean, that thing started early. Oh, my goodness. Joseph's brothers, oh, they loved Joseph, didn't they? They loved him so much, they sold their brother into slavery. Most of the brothers, let's be honest, that was doing him a kindness, evidently, because most of the brothers wanted to kill him. Yeah. They sold him into slavery. Even Jesus' disciples, you read how the disciples, they argued with one another. You remember they were always talking about who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus reminded them that they had no clue what they were asking or talking about. Christians within the church, We don't always see eye to eye. Sadly, though, when churches, and I'm so thankful that nobody, you know, in my tenure, nobody has ever complained to me about the color of the carpet. Hey, don't everybody email me at once today. I'm so thankful. You know, as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we don't always see eye to eye, but usually when I hear about churches that are struggling with unity, the reality is that it typically never has anything to do with Jesus. The problems with unity never have to deal with Jesus, or, to be honest, things that are of eternal significance. Oh, we get off track on all kind of things, but I can tell you this is not God's desire. In fact, in Jeremiah the weeping prophet reminds us in Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11 that he has thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace. His thoughts are not of evil. He has thoughts to give us an expected end. And so God's desire is not that we walk in disunity. Unfortunately, sinful men, watch this, sinful men and women have distorted God's creation and plan so much that having unity as a body of believers many times seems far-fetched and almost impossible. But I got news for you. I still believe God's word. I still believe God's word. I believe that God has a holy love for us and that His holy love overcomes hate. I believe that His holy love overcomes hate. Hey, either you believe God or you don't. You either believe in Jesus Christ or you don't. I was telling the Sunday school class, it wasn't even a part of my lesson. It was kind of like a little ad-lib, wasn't it, Ken? It was a little ad-lib that I reminded the Sunday school class that I'm just so thankful that Jesus, you know what He does with our sinfulness? Anybody, He takes it and He casts it into the depths of the sea. Oh, He subdues our iniquities. He doesn't remind us of our iniquities. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Oh, because of Jesus, we can have unity. I believe that when we're unified in Christ, we will be able to stand. United we stand, divided we fall. As Psalm 133, look with me, it's a short psalm, but it points to the beauty of Christian unity and love. In fact, someone has actually dubbed this a psalm of brotherhood. The only thing bad about that dubbing, it reminds me of the city of what was supposed to be brotherly love. You know, all you Philadelphia Eagle fans out there, don't get me started. Oh, it's a psalm of brotherhood. In the three verses of Scripture here, we learn that unity has the ability to produce an atmosphere and an environment in which God's power can and will flow freely. You see, when the body of Christ dwells, when we worship, and when we walk together in unity, you and I can be sure that the Holy Spirit of God is on the move. When we're walking in unity, the Spirit is moving. When we're walking in disunity, you can be sure that you and I have done something to get the attention of Almighty God and thus offend the Holy Spirit of God. So let's walk in unity, amen? Oh, God can use our unity to transform lives. And thus, when He transforms lives, the shackles of sin are broken. When the Holy Spirit has the freedom to move, there's nothing too big, nothing too broken in this life that God cannot fix. But for that to happen, I put in my notes, God must be our standard. God must be our standard and guide for living, and our lives must be humbly submitted to His leadership. You know, my predecessor used to say all the time, let God be true and every man a liar. Hello? Let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, we have to be careful with this thing, this protection of unity. It's a big thing. So let's work our way through this very quickly. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So if you're a note taker, here it is. Standing united is a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. David says, look at the word behold. In other words, he says, hey, take a look and see. He says, take a look and see at this thing called unity. In other words, you ought to take time to marvel at what unity looks like. He says it's good, and he says it's pleasant. By the way, the word good, I got news for you. You know what it means? Good. I mean, you had to be real smart to figure that out. It means good. Good means good. David says, hey, behold. He says, behold how good. In other words, in the widest sense, it's talking about that this good unity is beautiful. It's better. You know, it's better than anything that you and I can conjure up. Have you ever tried to do something in your own strength only to fall, only to fail? Oh, David says, behold how good, how beautiful, how better, how best it is when we dwell together in unity. It was Charles Spurgeon. He alluded to the fact that unity is such a wonder seldom seen. Watch this. He said, it's such a wonder seldom seen that when it happens, we should behold it. It's seldom seen. Even Charles Spurgeon said that. In other words, he was saying it's worthy of our admiration. Watch this. To take a pause and to gaze upon unity. Oh, my friends. Oh, if there's ever a place that unity should abound, it's with the family of God and in the house of God. Notice the word pleasant. The word pleasant means delightful or sweet. Man, it's descriptive of a pleasure that fills our heart and mind with delight. As, watch this, as we behold a loved one, as we behold a close friend, as we behold a beautiful place, or as we behold, watch this, the glory of God. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is. Sadly, though, we live in an age where people try to screw it up. Am I right? We live in an age where people try to blow it all the time. And you want to know why? You want to know why things get screwed up? Why people end up blowing it up? It's a three-letter word. It's called sin. Sin. Oh, S-I-N. Oh, it will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and in the end, it will cost you and me more than we're willing to pay. Oh, listen, we got to be careful of that three-letter word. That's an offensive word to God. Oh, listen, families and friends and other folks within the church are being divided in 2024, just as they were in 2020 and years past. They're being divided by fierce feuds. Churches are being divided by unbiblical rhetoric. Churches are being divided by sinful behavior. Oh, listen, be careful, as I said, little tongue, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, we have to be careful. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, behold, in other words, take a look and see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Friends, we cannot allow the evil one, that slimy, subtle serpent, that slimy, subtle serpent who slithers about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, neither give place to the devil today. Oh, don't leave a crack in the armor for the devil. Hey, you better shut the door on the devil, amen? Somebody say, I'm going to shut the door. Shut the door on the devil. Don't give place to the devil, because he'll slime his way right into your life and cause hate, discord, and discomfort. Oh, we cannot allow the devil back in this place. We cannot do it. Oh, listen. Fellowship with God and one another is essential to the ingredient of unity. The devil, he is a slick dude. He seeks to deceive. He seeks to destroy. He seeks to rule. He seeks to accuse us. But it's only because of Jesus. Can I just take a step back? It's only because of Jesus that you and I can have unity. Yeah. Unity with the Father, unity with one another. Oh, the only reason that any church, any place can have unity is because of Jesus. Because without Jesus, you and I are in trouble. Right. Oh, we need unity. It's a good thing. And James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 17. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now watch the downward motion. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That includes unity with Christ and with one another. I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? I pray that you do. You know, Scripture confirms Scripture. Hold your place there in Psalm 133 and turn back to Ephesians. I want you to see this in Ephesians chapter 4. Because God's word gives us a picture of this beautiful gift, this good gift that God has given us. of unity. In chapter 4, I want you to see this. This is amazing. In chapter 4, notice with me beginning in verse number 1. In verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Put the brakes just for a second and understand what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, listen. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you as a body of believers. He's talking to the saints in Ephesus, that old city of yesteryear. He's talking to them and he's saying, I beseech you, I implore you, I beg you to walk worthy. In other words, he says, don't put on an act. Don't put on an act. Anybody here ever put on an act? How many actors we got here today? We're going to put together the Christmas musical soon, and Chad will be looking for you. Say, oh, Pastor, I know how to act. Good, go see Chad right after service. Chad, the only problem with that is I think if we really got everybody who knows how to act, there would be nobody sitting out there. We all, let's just be honest with ourselves. You know, I was a good actor when I was a child. Just ask my dad. Oh, yeah, you guys think you're slick. Oh, I know every one of us in this room have put on an act a time or two. Men, have you put on an act for your wife every once in a while? Yes, dear. And ladies, I'm not leaving you out of the ball game. Have you ever put on an act for your funny little honey, your husband? Oh, honey, I made your special meal tonight. Oh, yes. Words were smooth as butter, but war was in the heart. Oh, listen. Oh, we've all been there. We've all done it. Oh, don't fool yourself. Hey, I got news for you. If you think you're exempt from that statement, you're only fooling yourself. Some of y'all are acting right now. Let me just smile. Yeah, that's funny, Pastor Greg. Paul says, look at verse 1 again. He says, I beseech you, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, don't put on an act. He says, I'm calling you to be and to live in a manner that is befitting of a child of God. And we might say, well, Paul, that's great. Well, how am I going to do that? How am I supposed to do that? The reality is God, knowing that we need wisdom, gives us the answer right after Paul says what he says. Look at verse number 2. How do we do it? He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. But what I want you to really see is verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now look at that word endeavoring. The word endeavoring comes from the Greek word spoudazo. Spoudazo. And it literally means with speed. To make an effort. To be prompt. And it speaks, watch this, it speaks of my diligence, it speaks of your diligence, it speaks of your labor and my labor, it speaks of our study in order to keep unity of the Spirit, this oneness, as even Brother Ken was talking about in Sunday school, this like-minded, this oneness, this unity of accord, it speaks of this oneness or unanimity in the Spirit. Verse number 4, the Bible says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Look at verse number 3. Paul points out that we should be quick as we walk worthy in the Spirit to maintain and to guard this very special unity that has been created. Watch this. It wasn't created by you. It wasn't created by me. It wasn't created by anyone other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Isn't that good? Oh, and Paul says there's one body. Look there in verse 4 and 5. There's one body. Everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, the reality is you have been baptized into one body because of Jesus Christ. He speaks of one Spirit. I got news for you. I know we got some folks that get excited, but there's only one Holy Spirit. Hold on, let me hear that. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's not a charismatic Holy Spirit. There's not a Methodist Holy Spirit, a Lutheran Holy Spirit, or a Baptist Holy Spirit. There is the one, the only, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. Isn't that amazing? Oh, this is what Paul talks about. He says we've got one hope. Look in verse 4 and 5. He says there's only one hope, and his name is Jesus. One Lord. Early Christians, I was talking about this in Sunday school. Did you know that early Christians were not persecuted for believing in the so-called Christian God? They were persecuted because they believed and they declared that Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected was the only God. Oh, yes. Oh, we have unity in Christ. 1 Timothy in chapter 2, verse number 5, Paul writing to Timothy. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man. What does he say? The man, Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 4, the writer of Acts tells us in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, there's one Lord. Look at verse 5. It speaks of one faith. In other words, one system of belief or faith. Based on, watch this, based on one body of truth, the Word of God, the inherent Word of God. It's our final authority on all matters for Christian faith and practice. Paul goes on, he says there's one baptism. The name of the Father and the name of the Son and of the name of the Holy Spirit. We'll be observing that today. One God and one Father. He's speaking of monotheism. He's speaking here, you go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse number 4. Right? We're told, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. Oh, God's job out of His good pleasure. By the way, God does everything out of His good pleasure. It's not as if I've given Him a job. But He does it out of His good pleasure. His job was to establish this idea of Christian unity and love. Our job is to maintain, as Paul said. Our job is to maintain and guard that unity and love with correct biblical beliefs. And watch this. Not only correct biblical beliefs, but correct biblical behavior. Oh, someone has said coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is success. I like that. Coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success. I put in my notes, as one flock, we are gathered together. As one family, we dwell together. As one body, we're joined together. As one temple, we are framed together. As one household, we are built together. And as one church, praise His holy name, we worship together. Oh, by the way, as we walk out these doors, this church ought to still be worshiping Jesus. This isn't it, folks. This is just when we get together in corporate worship. When we walk out those doors and we go our separate ways, we ought to have little pockets of Battlefield all over Prince William and Fauquier and Stafford and Spotsylvania and Rappahannock County. Let's just take over all of Northern Virginia, amen? Come on, somebody get excited for Jesus. Lord have mercy. Standing united is a good thing. Oh, it's good. Good. You want to know why it's so good? When we stand united, watch this. When we stand united as a body of believers, everybody outside of that door will look at us and say, wow. Wow. You know, I've heard of all these churches that have this issue and that issue, but you know that church up on the hill? Every time I hear about them, man, they're walking in unity. They got missions trips going here, there, and yonder. They got children's ministry. They got upward basketball. They got a people with a heart to serve. They got all kind of things going on. Man, what a blessing it is to hear about a church instead of arguing about silly, frivolous things, instead of looking back. By the way, Jesus has something to say about looking back. Just ask Lot's wife. Instead of looking back there, they're focused on moving ahead. Oh, that church is unified. Oh, it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing because it's a wonderful testimony of our God. But notice also in verse 2 and 3, standing united is a God thing. It's not a Greg thing. It's not a you thing. It's a God thing. Look at verse 2. The Bible says it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Oh man, imagery, imagery, imagery all over these verses. Oh, the illustrations in verse 2. Says that unity is like a precious ointment. Let me ask a question. Ladies, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to defer to your knowledge in this matter because I'm not guessing I have a lot of knowledge in this. Have you ever purchased a precious ointment? Have you ever smelled a beautiful precious ointment? I have a time or two, but I don't know a lot about it. Typically, I'm just going to be transparent. I typically never buy myself cologne or anything like that. If I smell good, it's of my wife's doing. And usually it comes every Christmas, whether I need it or not. Sometimes at my birthday, if she looks at the bottle and she sees that there's not enough of that stuff, right? I don't do it like that. I just put a little there and I rub it on. I'm like, hey, I'm done, right? She looks and she sees he doesn't have enough precious ointment. I'm going to buy him some, right? The Word of God is pointing us, watch this, whether you're an ointment aficionado or not, the Word of God is saying that unity is like a precious ointment. Are you reminded of a story of a woman who had a precious ointment? What did she do with that ointment? She broke it open. What did she do? Took her hair. Put it all over the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I just say something real quick? Do you know that those who were there that day thought it was a waste? Those jokers talked about they should have sold it. They should have made some money off of that ointment. You need to be careful about stuff. We can get all sidetracked real quick if we don't stay what the Word of God has to say. The psalmist says, unity is like a precious ointment. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon. How many have been to Mount Hermon? Just a couple. Just a few have been to Mount Hermon. It's like the precious dew of Mount Hermon. And notice again, look at verse 2. It says, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down, watch this, the downward motion, it ran down the beard of Aaron, even Aaron's beard, and onto his whole being, right? But then also, you see the imagery of the dew of Mount Hermon descending, and I'll point this out here in just a second, descending on Mount Zion. And so, again, I have to defer to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's a downward motion when we see the good and perfect gifts of God coming down, just like this beautiful and perfect and wonderful gift of unity, it comes from God. It's a God thing. It's not a us thing. Notice verse 2, the word ointment literally means grease or liquid in form, as the olive often perfumed. During this time, olive oil would have been a highly valued commodity in ancient Israel. It was used for cooking, moisturizing, and refreshing across the board. And so David uses this imagery and symbolism to say that unity is not only valuable, but that it is precious. It's a precious thing. And by the way, that word precious comes from the same exact word. If you look in verse 1, it comes from the same exact Hebrew word that we read about when verse 1 says, how good unity is. It's the same exact word. It means good, beautiful, better, or best. A full account of this particular ointment being alluded to is given to us back in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 22 and following, I encourage you to read it for your own. It talks about the special recipe in which the ingredients and its use of this special ointment were specified by God Himself and how it would have been confined to things that were solely used, purposefully used on things and persons connected with the service of the sanctuary. The ingredients would have included olive oil, myrrh, sweet cinnamon, cassia, which is a sweet herb similar to cinnamon, and calamus or cane. Truly, when we talk about a precious ointment of unity, it's an oil of sweet perfume, something that smells beautiful to God. It's a most holy oil. It's an oil that spreads and covers all. The point that God's word is making is that unity, watch this, unity covers all who are under its influence. Watch that. Unity covers all who are under its influence. It does not stay confined to the original spot upon which it first falls, but it flows and perfumes everything it touches. And once unity is really set in motion, once the Holy Spirit of God is moving, the reality is it keeps on flowing. Oh, don't let the devil destroy unity. Oh, let it keep flowing. Aaron is a picture that points forward to Jesus Christ. You think he was used by accident? When it talks about even upon Aaron and down his beard, the high priest Aaron? No, it's no accident. He's a picture of the promised Messiah and our great high priest. That's number one. But also his robe. You think about Aaron, the high priest, his robe would have been adorned with the names of all 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore, when we talk about how pleasant and how beautiful this precious ointment is, it speaks about how good and pleasant it is for all of God's people to stand together in unity. Oh, like the blood of Jesus that will never lose its power, the sweet-smelling oil and perfume of biblical unity flows from the highest mountain, oh, watch it, all the way down to the lowest valley, and yes, it reaches even to you and to me, as the song alludes. It's been said that the Christian affection of love knows no limits. God's love is not just for me and my household. It's not for just Battlefield or Fauquier County or Virginia, the United States. It's something to be shared with everyone. Notice verse number 3. Again, in verse number 3, let me go back to Psalm 133. In verse number 3, our text mentions unity. It continues. It says it's like the dew of Hermon descending down upon the mountains of Zion. What a beautiful illustration. I asked if anybody had been to Mount Hermon. The reality is Mount Hermon is located in the northern part of Israel and is the highest mountain peak in Israel, sitting up about 9,000 feet above sea level. Mount Zion, and that's in the north, and it's known for its cool nights and heavy dew. But Mount Zion, in the converse, Mount Zion sits in the south, and it's one of the lower mountain points. It sits at about 2,400 feet above sea level, and it's known for its dry and arid and hot temperatures. And so you see what's happening. David's portrait of unity depicts how hot and dry the temperatures of Mount Zion are, but how they're being refreshed by the cool temperatures and dew of Mount Hermon. Again, another picture of how beautiful and how precious it is. Matthew Henry put it this way by saying, "Unity cools the scorching heat of men's passions just as the dew cools the air and refreshes the earth." In John chapter 17, you'll notice that was on the title slide. Jesus, in the longest prayer ever recorded, here's what he prays for in John chapter 17 in verse 20 and following. He says, "Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's talking about us who have believed the word. "That they may also be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Now, why did he say that? Look, he goes on. "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." In other words, the beautiful picture of unity that we have as believers in Christ has an effect upon the world. In fact, Jesus said the reason that he was praying that is so that the world would believe that he was God's only begotten Son. Jesus talked a lot about that as well. Things that we ought to be doing. In other words, to give the testimony that we belong to him and that the church would be glorious. Sadly, just like it is in 2024, there were divisions in that church of Corinth. The Apostle Paul wrote to them in Corinthians chapter 1, and he's pleading for unity. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 1, he says, now, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Do you know the only way that we're going to speak the same thing is if we walk in unity? He says that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, he goes on and does the same thing with the church at Philippi, because they weren't perfect either. In Philippians 2 and 2, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, right? And of one mind. His teaching is consistent. He speaks to the church of Galatia. He says the same thing in Galatians 3:26. He says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, my friends, the precious ointment was God ordained. It was a God ordained mixture of oil and spices known for its fragrance. And it was also God ordained, the picture we have of the dew that was God given mist, known for its freshness to cool even Mount Zion. Oh, united we stand, but divided, well, you know the rest. Standing united is a good thing and it's a God thing, and then I wrap it up. The people of God said, amen. Standing united is a good thing. It's a God thing. But standing united is guaranteed to be a blessed thing. Not because I said so. Not because some other person said so. But because God said so. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, for there, talking about the unity, that like the oil that came down upon Aaron's beard, and then like the dew and the freshness that came down from Mount Hermon. He says, for there, he says, the Lord commanded the blessing. How good and how pleasant it is that men, that we walk in unity, men and women. Mount Zion was often signified, interestingly enough, as the dwelling place of the Lord. Today, His church is the dwelling place of the Lord. You say, where is that? In the heart of every believer. In the heart of every believer is the dwelling place of the Lord. Someone, it is said, wherever God reigns, love and unity reign. And wherever love and unity reign, God reigns. In other words, they go hand in hand. If God is not reigning in your heart, do not expect to be experiencing unity. And if unity is not reigning in your heart, then I got news for you. There's probably something going on with your relationship with God. In our text, when unity exists, God commands His blessing. The only way that unity exists, again, is through the power of Jesus Christ. Receiving God's blessing is not something we can manufacture. Have you ever tried to manufacture a blessing from God? Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and God will bless me. Can I tell you, sir, if you've never trusted Christ, ma'am, young person, senior saint, if you've never trusted Christ, can I help you today? Nothing that you and I can ever do will earn His favor. You cannot buy your salvation with a bunch of good deeds. Right? It's already been done. It's not about do, as that little track says. It's not about do, it's about done. Jesus Christ, the righteous, took care of my sin and your sin, and the sin for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He took care of it once and for all. And you know what He did? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, I got news for you. Your relationship with Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have unity with the Father. But you also have unity this way. Oh, let's not mess it up. The more we learn to dwell together in love and unity, the more we will begin to understand what the enjoyment of eternity will ultimately look like. Literally, I put in my notes, when you and I stand united, it's good and pleasant. Figuratively, it's fragrant and fruitful. And spiritually, when we stand together united, it comes from God, but it also comes, I love this, with a guaranteed blessing from God that gives us life now and forevermore. Anybody ever buy something and you wanted a warranty? Unity has a warranty that will never ever expire. It has a warranty from Almighty God, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Paul closed his second letter to that once divided church in Corinth by saying in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." They were probably thankful that he was saying farewell. He said, "Finally, brethren, farewell." He says, "Be perfect, be of good comfort." But notice what he throws in there. He says, "Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Oh, yes, his closing message was all about standing united. Folks, we must do today everything and anything that we must do biblically to stand united. Are you walking in unity with the Father? Are you? Do you have a unified walking a relationship with the Father through Jesus, the Son? Have you been born again spiritually? I pray that if you've never trusted Christ, that you would know that God loved you and He loved me and He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you've never called out upon the name of the Lord, man, don't blow it. Trust Jesus today. Oh, if the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you, the Word of God has convinced you. Oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't walk out of here. Don't turn the TV off without Jesus today. You say, what do I got to do? You got to recognize that you're a sinner, but you have to also recognize that Jesus is exactly who He said He was. And believe that God has raised Him from the dead. And that He did all of that because He wanted to have a relationship with you. Listen, if you have never, ever turned from your sin and trusted Christ, why would you wait another second? Oh, I beg you, enter into that unity that you and I can have with the Father through Jesus Christ. I also ask the question, are you dwelling together in unity with your brothers and sisters in this place? According to the Word of God, focusing on things that matter, not on things that do not. Oh, I pray that we would all in this moment recommit ourselves to the biblical principle of unity. Oh, there's so much more that we could talk about when it comes to unity. But here's what I know, folks. The Lord has blessed Battlefield Baptist Church for nearly 44 years. Now, the Lord has blessed Battlefield Baptist Church for nearly 44 years. Amen. And I have been, and I still am, because I haven't keeled over yet. I have been, and I still am, very privileged and honored to serve as the pastor of this church. But one thing that I will not condone, one thing that I will not stand for, is disunity. We must walk in unity. We must give God the glory. Oh, isn't that good? I want to give Him some glory. Oh, let's do it. Oh, next week. We have another wonderful opportunity as a church family to keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. Oh, listen, He's not here today, so I can talk about Him. We have a wonderful opportunity to see what God has done in the life of a young man who everyone here, just like him. You say, what? I'm not like him. Yes, you were. And yes, you are. We are all just sinners saved by God's amazing grace. And if anybody in here has a hard time with your eyesight, you can borrow my glasses. And understand and recognize and see what God has done in the life of this young man. He's not here, so I can talk about it. We have a wonderful opportunity to keep this ship moving forward. You know what my desire would be? Is that this church after me would have a pastor who would preach the Word of God. And I believe we have such a one. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know what? We could go out and probably find some mamby-pamby guy to come in here and tickle your ears. But I don't think that's what this church wants, and I don't think that's what this church needs. And so let's stay unified. You know, I was looking up, and it's interestingly enough, D.L. Moody. He had a lot to say about a lot of things. But D.L. Moody, I got to close this up. Notice what he said. He said, I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. I love that quote. He said, I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. Oh, Father, I pray that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, and that we would not give place to anything that would cause or discombobulate this beautiful gift. It's a God thing. It's a good thing. But it's guaranteed, guaranteed to be a blessed thing. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray now that as we enter into this time of invitation, as we open up the altar, as people determine to come for membership, people that need to be baptized, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves, even as your Son Jesus humbled himself, despised the shame, and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. If necessary, Father, I pray that you would help us to forgive one another, just as you have forgiven us for Christ's sake. And I ask above and beyond all that you would give us one mind, one heart, and one mouth, so that we might not only live in unity, but that we would serve in unity, and in so doing, Lord, that we would give you all the glory that you so rightly deserve. God, what a great God you are to us. So thankful for your love and your goodness and your mercy that is new each and every day to us. God, I pray that as we go from this place today, that we would continue to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God, I pray that if there's somebody that needs to trust Christ, that they'll do it today. If there's somebody that needs to be baptized, they'll do it today. If there's somebody that needs to join alongside with us here at Battlefield, that they would do it today. Understanding and humbling ourselves before you, that we might walk according to your truth in unity. God, I love you and I praise you for this and all things. For it's in the precious and powerful name of your Son, Jesus. And for his sake, we all pray, amen and amen.